Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net. Take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it takes to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. And if we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. or call us at 804-909-7339. Today we're going to continue our series on the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, give us a call at 347-857-1322 or log in to www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. Again, as always, it is my pleasure to welcome my co-host and my partner in crime, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing today?
Amen. I'm doing very, very, very well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How was your service on Sunday? That was your first one, right?
Our first one was excellent, brother. We enjoyed the presence of the Lord. We sang, we prayed, and we got into the Word.
Amen. So let me give you a minute to tell us where you're meeting at, what the address is, and what the time is, so we can make sure that people are aware of what God is doing on the south side of Richmond. Go ahead.
Yes, our address is 3076 Hall Street, Richmond, Virginia. Zip code is 23224. We are meeting at 3, exactly 3 p.m. We go from 3 to 5 every Sunday. And to be exact, because we haven't put up our sign, but we are sharing this building with Inner Seed, Seed Time and Harvest Time Ministries. And that's where we are meeting for right now.
Amen. Amen. Well, I just want everybody to make sure they write that down, to make themselves available on Sunday afternoon between 3 and 5 right over there off of Hall Street.
Yeah.
It's going to be an awesome time in the Lord. I apologize for missing last Sunday, but we were up in Maryland doing some preaching and teaching. And I have some good news as well. My brand-new book, DWJD, Do What Jesus Did, is now available. It arrived on Monday when I got back, and I was so excited. And I actually read 38 pages of it myself.
Praise God.
If I do say so myself, in my humble but totally accurate opinion, it is a great book. It will really either make you mad or make you glad. Hallelujah. So if you'd like a copy of that, just give us a call at 804-909-7339. You can email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. Or you can check out our website at dmcministries.net, and we'll be glad to get you a copy sent out ASAP. Hallelujah. All right. Other news that I wanted to bring to you, Pastor Godfrey, before we get cranked up this morning, I am picking up Pastor or Apostle Stephen Marimbe tomorrow up in Fredericksburg, and he's going to be we're going to have the honor of hosting him down here for a few days. He's going to be spending some time with us, so you and I will get together on that. And so I am really, really excited about being able to show some of that Virginia hospitality.
Right. That's wonderful, brother.
Amen. So we're excited about our partner over there in Africa being here. And actually, Mark Cato sent me a note this morning. I told him, I said, well, now I'm waiting on you so that I can serve you watermelon and pineapple.
Praise God.
And his response was, ha, 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 ha. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yes.
All right, well, let's get cranked up this morning. You want to pray for us, and then I'm going to start in John chapter 6.
Yes, sir. Father, we want to thank you for this morning, Lord God. We thank you as we come, Lord God, to break the bread of life, for you are the bread of life, Lord God. Father, I pray for the listeners that they will get this word in their spirits. They'll hide it there, Lord God. Father, we thank you, for we know that the entrance of your word brings light. The light come forth, Lord God. And we thank you that forever, Lord God, your word is settled in heaven. This is just a copy of what we have, Lord God. Come and work in and through us, Lord God. Let your word come forth where is healing, deliverance, joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's kind of interesting that you're talking about the bread of life, because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. In John chapter 6, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version, verse 1 says, after these things, Jesus went. Now, remember, we always have to go back to chapter 5 to find out about the. So in chapter 5, he healed the gentleman at the pool of Bethesda, and then he went up to where is that place that he went to now? I can't remember. Anyway, where he was talking about his fourfold witness of him, his Father, his Son, and himself. So glory be to God. So after all of these things, okay, and that's what we want to always remember, that the Bible is not necessarily chronological, it's not even sometimes sequential, but whenever you have an after that or therefore, you need to find out what those things are there for.
That's right.
So praise God. So after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and there was a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he had performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. And then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, well, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now I think that's a very interesting question.
Yes, it
is. There's a couple of points there that can be made. Number one, where are we going to buy bread for these people? So these people are coming to see us of their own volition, not because they were invited. Oh, come on now. Okay? And so now Jesus' his primary concern is, well, since they're coming, even though we didn't invite them, but they're coming, how are we going to buy bread to feed them? So that would assume there that he had resources available to buy food. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And so then Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, saw this great multitude, and he says, where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? But this, he said, to test them, for he himself knew exactly what he was going to do. He already knew what the plan was before he ever asked that question, but the question was to get the disciples thinking and to see if they could come up with a suitable answer. Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? So as we have determined as we've gone through this book, Many of the scribes and Pharisees and the people, even his own folk, even his own disciples, were really, really focused in on the natural aspect of things and not on the spirit of things.
Yeah.
All right, so then verse 10, he says, then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this truly is a prophet who has come into the world. Hallelujah. All right, go ahead and comment on that, if you will.
Yes, sir. Number one, I'm looking at how Jesus knew exactly what the solution is going to be. But when you look at the disciples, I believe the disciples were looking at their means, and how so often when the Lord speaks to us that this is what I want you to do, we sometimes look at our means and say, this little. Because you realize that the disciples were calling it this little. How is it going to benefit so many? In that they were despising, one of the words that came in there in my spirit was, despise not the humble beginning. And so many times we despise the humble beginning. Lord, you know the little me, I cannot do this, I don't have much. And yet the Lord himself knows that he's going to supply all our needs, not according to what we have, but in accordance to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's one of the first lessons that I look at. The second lesson that I look at here, brother, is that when they brought the bread to Jesus and the fish, now he looked up to the Father and gave thanks. Now, we realize that he had to set order. And remember where Paul said, let everything be done in decency and in order. God is the God of order. He had to let them sit down. And after they sat down, we find that he himself never said, like usually we talk about some leaders, all they want to do, I'm the one to baptize the people, I'm the one to lead the choir, I'm the one to see the transportation, I'm the one to do the ushering if it will be done. But Jesus wants to give thanks to the Father and then distributed the bread to the disciples. Verse 11 says, then the disciples distributed to the people. We see that he delegated. It reminds me of what we are teaching in Uganda, that God had to use Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, to tell him, Moses, you won't carry this load alone. And Moses needed to get the 70, prayed over them, they received the Spirit, so they could carry on the work and not be burnt out. That's another lesson I'm learning from this portion so far.
Yeah, I like that part a lot, especially when we're talking about Jethro, because that was one of the things with Moses. That was in Exodus chapter 18, where Moses was having to deal with all of the fuss and the fighting, the bickering and the arguing and what have you with all between all of his people, and his father-in-law, who again was a wise counselor. And as we know, the word says there's wisdom in many counsels. But you also have to make sure that the counsel is wise. Hallelujah.
Correct.
But he said that the dude, he says, you're going to wear yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make yourself nuts trying to deal with all this stuff. He says, you need to delegate. You need to in that delegation, you need to give them the responsibility, but then you also give them the authority, but you also have to hold them accountable. But the key statement in that chapter, and I also think that it's key here, is that he had to train his people.
Exactly,
that's what Jethro told Moses, is you need to train these people. Well, that's exactly what Jesus is doing here. If we're going to, like in my book where I talk about doing what Jesus did, we have to be trained by the Holy Spirit. Okay.
That's right.
We have to be educated. The Bible says that my people die for lack of knowledge. Right. And they have not because they ask not, and when they ask amiss. And
right.
So how do we learn unless we be taught, and how are
sure.
we taught except through this foolishness that we call preaching, because what mm-hmm. we preach is foolishness to the world, but to,
right.
to a saint, it's absolutely vital. It's absolutely essential
Amen.
That they get the message. Now, I had an incident happen last night that I wanted to tie right in here because this is very, very important. The people that were there, you know, were hungry, and they were strictly looking at their natural need. That's all they were
right.
really interested in satisfying was their natural need. They had no idea because, as you said, how did he know what was going to happen in advance? How did he know what he was going to do? Well, the Bible
right.
says clearly that he only does what he saw as, you know, what he prayed and did what he saw his father do.
That's
and,
right.
And so that's the answer to that question. But the key point is here is that Jesus was taking a spiritual principle and applying it to a natural problem.
That's right.
Okay. Now, one of the things that you have to understand, especially folks out there that are ministering the gospel to people that you know that may or may not be saved, born again, or filled with the Spirit of God, if they are not saved, it is going to be virtually impossible for you to show them and explain to them how to apply a spiritual lesson to a natural problem. It's almost the same thing as if you're talking a different language to them, okay?
Correct.
Because their
yeah.
spirits have not been regenerated. Their spirits have not been reborn. They're not all things have not been changed, and they have not become brand new. They have
right.
not renewed their mind through the washing of the water of the Word. So, you know, the wisdom that we give people, the guidance and the direction that we give people, you know, in the natural circumstances, you have to be careful about using spiritual concepts because they're not going to understand, okay?
That's true.
They're not going to get it. And sometimes, and this is what happened to me last night, sometimes you're just going to have to accept that.
Right, true.
Okay? And you're just going to have to accept it, and you're going to have to let it go, and you're going to have to say, well, you know, I can help them with their problem, but they need to get saved first.
Correct. That's very true. Yeah.
Because if you're, you know, if I'm trying to, it's just like when we were over in Uganda, you know, and I'm preaching English and you're translating it into Lugandan, I have no idea what you're saying.
That's true. Yeah.
So the only thing I can do is I have to trust you to think that you're not telling everybody that I'm a big dodo bird.
Right, right.
Does that make sense?
It does. It makes sense, yeah.
So I see a lot of times people, you know, once they start to get a little bit of this spirit thing, they start trying to tell everybody how to fix all of their problems using spiritual concepts that people are not going to understand. They're not going to – if you tell somebody that doesn't have a clue about what living in the spirit is – that, oh, well, you just need to walk in the Spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Exactly.
They're going to look at you and go, what? Or
they
all
don't
you
understand
need
it.
Is trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Well, that's easy because I don't even understand what I don't understand.
Exactly. How can I trust Him?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you have to learn over time how to take these spiritual principles, because I'm telling you, the spirit realm that we live in is more real than the natural realm that we exist in.
Exactly. That's very true.
Amen? And so
Amen.
Jesus is sitting here looking at these people going, 5,000? That ain't no big thing. Two loaves and two fishes? Two loaves and fishes? That's no big thing. Let me show you how my daddy will make that end up with 12 left over.
Exactly.
That is six times what the original amount was. So my God is more than enough. But if you don't understand understand that, and this is what he was trying to explain to the disciples, how they could actually do this themselves.
Right.
If they didn't understand, they didn't get it. Even the second time when he did it to 3,000, they still didn't get it.
Right.
Okay.
Mm.
But what he was trying to explain to them was that everything in the natural realm is subject to the spiritual realm. Oh,
right.
My
oh.
God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If we can ever get that, brother, we can rock this world to a place that nobody has ever seen before. Now, the world... And I don't mean to be ranting and raving here, but the world belongs to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
This is his territory. This is his playground.
Mm.
But if we understand how to operate in the spiritual realm, we
right.
can overcome anything in the natural realm.
And that's very true. Mm. Mm.
And that's exactly what Jesus did right here. He took something that seemed impossible, and he said, well, you know, For us, nothing's impossible. For those who believe,
that's right.
See, and of course the disciples are sitting there looking at her. And, wow, we got this little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. In the world would be 5,000 people, but
and
it was actually more than that. That was the number of men.
That's right. It was more than that.
But then I like your point too about getting them organized. You have to get things organized in the ministry. You have to get things organized in the body of Christ, because
That's
God
right.
is not a God of confusion. He's a God of decency and order.
That's true. Yeah.
You want to say anything? Well, I've been ranting and raving there for a few minutes.
Yeah, and then I was looking at the third point, probably from the portion that we read in verse 12. You realize, well, besides, come to verse 12. Now, previously, the disciples had called it little. But as you end verse 11, it says, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. In other words, they had so much, once it got into the hands of Jesus. And, of course, Jesus looked to the Father. And as he stated it, Jesus must have seen what the Father had already done. And then he did it also. And
Amen.
We realized in verse 12, there was no waste there. He told them, gather the fragments or the remains, that nothing be lost. So that means he's a God that once he has multiplied, he doesn't want us to waste, because this is just a spiritual lesson that is demonstrated in the natural. Because later on we'll see in the latter verses of this chapter that Jesus Christ says, I'm the bread of life. In other words, he started in the natural such that they would carry through. It also takes me back to where we were last week in chapter 5. He knew that the best way to get to this woman would be find her need, and then I'll minister to you the spiritual understanding of it from the natural. And also here he started by the natural, then ends up teaching them the spiritual lesson out of this. But as you eat this bread, this is how you're going to eat me, my word. Of course, he's the bread of life, and he is the word. And nothing is going to be wasted, because we truly know that every word that comes from him, it will never return unto him void or for nothing, as Isaiah says, but it must accomplish what is sent for.
That's right.
Amen.
See, I preached that part of that same thing on Sunday up there in Akakik, Maryland. And it was the fact that the Bible says that man doesn't live by bread alone. Now, we need to eat, obviously. And we were getting ready to have a very nice lunch after service on Sunday,
right.
So I didn't want to go too long because I didn't want to hold them up from their lunch.
Yes.
But the point is that every single word that comes out of the mouth of God, and what you said is correct, is absolutely essential to our well-being, and he will not waste a single word.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. That is just absolutely amazing. And so, we definitely need to understand that spiritual concept. And then as we begin to, in the natural, start to devour the word, then it's almost like when those people looked in that basket, okay, all they saw was a natural fish.
Right.
Oh, my God. You know where I'm going here, don't you? And as soon as they took that fish out, the next basket over that was sent to the next group of people, guess what they saw? All they saw was the natural fish.
Right.
But they didn't really understand what was going on in the spirit realm. And the disciples were just sitting there going, wow, this is amazing how this can happen. And so, but that's what when you get into the process, and you know, we're almost out of time today, believe it or not. We haven't even gotten started good in this chapter yet. Wow. But when you start reading the Word of God, okay, on a persistent and a consistent basis, then that's what happens. Right. That's the transformation. That's the restoration of your mind. That's the renewing of your mind by the washing of the water of the Word. It takes something that on your Bible looks black and white and red all over. Of course, that's a newspaper. But when it's black and white and red, and you start reading it, it's like eating that fish, okay, and then handing it off to somebody else. The next time you read it, there's more fish there.
Exactly.
Amen?
Yeah.
So there's that process of duplication and that process of multiplication, but then there's also a process of transformation that goes on in the very midst of you reading and studying the Word of God.
Right, yes.
Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I think we're going to have to stop there because we're just about, we only got about 2 minutes left, so we'll stop right there at we'll be on verse 15 next week.
That's 15, yeah.
John chapter 6, verse 15, and we'll move on from there. But I think you have to agree, Pastor, that it's better to take our time and savor this meal.
Yeah. I agree.
Than it is to just devour it and shove it down the pie hole.
Exactly. We need to break it down.
We need to break it down and enjoy it. Amen.
Amen.
We certainly do that with the Word of God. And listen, we appreciate, Pastor, I really do appreciate you being with us again today. And look forward to seeing you next week. We'll see you this weekend, but I look forward to seeing you on the show next week, and I think it's going to be another wonderful day of what does
yes,
the Word say. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are interested in hearing the archived version of this, go out to www.dmcministries.net/DMC2, and you'll be able to get the archives, or even eventually we'll have all of these on audio as well out there, and you can make yourself available for that. It will certainly be a blessing to you, and obviously the more that you read and study the better off you will be and the better off this world will be. So until next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, this is Dwayne Clemens from Richmond, Virginia, wishing you a good day. And I pray that you just relax and let the Spirit reign in your life. And until we meet again, you be blessed and have a good day. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.